Hello, I'm Joe Vigliotti, Carroll County Commissioner from District 1. Thank you for joining me today. The Carroll County Commissioners are in the midst of budget season. Each year, we undertake the task, along with our Department of Management and Budget, which is the largest responsibility that we have through the course of any given year. This is because it ensures the continuing operation of county government services and helps to sustain partner agencies and organizations in providing services to the public as well. There are a lot of things happening fiscally this year, and a lot for us to keep in mind when it comes to budgeting. There's a lot to share, so I hope you don't mind. To understand where we are this year, it's important to begin by looking back. A major issue faced by the previous Board of Commissioners was declining membership in our volunteer fire companies. Historically, volunteers have provided fire and emergency medical services for the county, and over time, the county contributed financially to assist with the cost of some of those services. In the last decade, however, things have changed. The volunteer companies still continue to provide incredible service, but they don't have enough volunteers or resources to do what they once did, especially with over 30,000 emergency calls each year. The county commissioners therefore made the necessary decision to create the Carroll County Department of Fire and Emergency Services, or DFEMS, which would supplement volunteer companies with paid professionals, vehicles, equipment, and more, especially on the EMS side, as more than 80% of emergency calls annually are for medical services. Though it is worth it, the price for this is not cheap. DFEMS requires about $40 million or so each year and still has not yet been fully implemented. The other major issue that the county has faced over time has been providing funding for schools. In past years, the state's formula for per-pupil funding saw the state taking away money from county schools and the county trying to help pick up the difference as best it could. Blueprint, Maryland's vision for education in the state, has further complicated things to an even greater degree. Among other things, Blueprint forces Carroll to reallocate resources based on things like student poverty levels. This will mean heavier costs and bring about consequences like larger class sizes in some areas. Previous boards of education and commissioners, along with delegates and senators, have consistently warned against what was coming with Blueprint. They did all that they could to stop it. Our superintendent, Board of Education, and delegation at present, in particular Delegate Josh Stanko and Senator Justin Reedy, are working hard to gain some flexibility, exemptions, or waivers from the Accountability and Implementation Board, or AIB, for Blueprint. For the county, the last few years have been difficult, as declining revenue, rising costs, and increasing demand for services have required difficult choices. At present, it may seem like things have financially improved, but this is not exactly the case. Yes, our revenues are up a bit, but the demands and costs have not declined. Those have only continued to rise. And more on this in a little bit. When we concluded budgeting last year, we were projecting to have starting negative budget balances, or initial deficits, for the next 5 years, to the point that in the fifth year, our deficit would be nearly $30 million. And much of this remains unchanged for the out years. In order to meet our requirements for fiscal year 2025, or FY25, that is the budget year at present, which included nearly doubling the additional amount of money above the level of maintenance of effort we gave to Carroll County Public Schools, county commissioners cut a roads crew, cut vacant positions, made cuts to our contingency fund, cuts to salary increases, cuts to the agricultural preservation program, curtailed spending government-wide, and more. We even chose to raise some fees and chose to increase the recordation tax rate on the sale of houses. Still, we had a deficit. To balance this deficit, we chose to use money from our fund balance. This is a kind of stopgap measure and not a sound long-term solution. Our fund balance consists of money which has not been spent for one reason or another and revenue we were not predicting. It is an accumulation of money over years. Any given fund balance does not occur annually. It is non-recurring or one-time money. Once it is spent, it is gone. Now at present, better income revenue and increased state property assessments, along with careful billing for EMS, among other things, have marginally improved the financial outlook for the county for the next few years. Despite this, we still face significant deficits in those out years that I mentioned a few moments ago. But here's where things get even more complicated. The county has no shortage of funding obligations, including, but not limited to, planning, zoning, roads and bridges, the sheriff's department, the school resource officer program, the state's attorney's office, the courts, citizen services, DFEMS, transit, animal control, recreation and parks, the community college, and the agricultural preservation program, among others, all in addition to the schools, and all with their own issues and increasing costs. Additionally, projects bonded in years past are now beginning to come due. As mentioned earlier, the implementation of DFEMS continues. Inflation has not let up. We continue to fund schools above the MOE, and the state is looking to balance its own budget by divesting itself of many financial responsibilities. As one example, it appears as if the state will be shifting between $2.5 and $5 million in teacher pension costs onto the county and $200,000 in pension costs for the community college onto the county as well. That means that we have $5.2 million less than we might have otherwise used, such as giving it to the schools, that has instead been co-opted by the state. And we still don't know what other costs may be thrown our way in the coming weeks as the state legislature works to finalize its own budget. Now, there are some who are calling for massive increases in property taxes here in the county to cover everything. But it is important to remember that not everyone can afford tax increases, especially up in the northern and northwestern parts of the county, which I represent. The economy has not yet recovered. The cost of living remains high. Energy costs are spiking. The state is looking at over $1 billion in tax increases. Things are difficult for a lot of people. Now, I understand the reasons and the motivation behind calls for us to use our fund balance to pay for everything as well. But again, the fund balance sum we have has been accumulated over years for many different reasons, and it does not happen every single year. I voted to use some of that last year to avoid a tax increase on people who could not absorb it. And as I mentioned in my last podcast, we have been cautious about maintaining and growing a fund balance for a number of reasons. As I argued, first, because a larger fund balance means bridging a small deficit gap is less risky, especially to avoid a tax increase. Second, it is important to have a strong fund balance on hand for emergencies and unexpected economic downturns, as well as the unexpected in general. Again, we still don't quite know what the state is going to throw our way. Third, maintaining a fund balance allows for investment of that balance, generating revenue by means other than tax increases. And as I mentioned previously, the county has its own budget difficulties to contend with in every year for the foreseeable future, difficulties which will only increase as time passes. With all of our other obligations, our fund balance is going to be crucial. Now, if you're still with me after all of this, thank you for staying with me. I've tried to give a good accounting of where we currently are in the budgeting process and to respond to questions and ideas and to share talk about some things that aren't always mentioned. In the end, no one will be completely happy with this year's budget, and some may not be happy with it at all. But I also know that we remain dedicated and determined to finding the best possible working way forward through the increasing number of challenges which confront us. May God always bless you. May God always bless Carroll County. I'm Joe Vigliotti, Carroll County Commissioner from District 1. Thank you for joining me today.